This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, the left is thrilled that Tesla's stock is dropping, and they're joyous over people vandalizing Tesla cars and even firebombing them. These are angry times for the left in this country, no doubt about it. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot to get to. I just want to to kind of put a bow on the whole Kennedy thing. Because I mentioned this to you yesterday, you know, I've read every book I could get my hands on about the Kennedy assassination, including Posner's book. He's the only author that I know. And I think he's terrific. I really do. His books have exposed everything from pharma to the Vatican to, I mean, you name it. Like he goes after it, and he's fearless. I think it's unfair of people who are attacking him as being some sort of a CIA mouthpiece or some sort of a media CIA. I mean, he has his opinion based on his research, but he has no motivation here in this. The real question, the big question is, why did the government keep all this secret? And I think a lot of this, honestly, you know what I really believe it comes down to? I think they like messing with us. I do. I think they like effing with us. It's as simple as that. To answer my buddy Don Povia's question, I think the government just likes to F with us. I know that Sue Alberici doesn't like when I say letters, but I mean, by F, I mean, what's the word I could say? Like they like to, just F with us. There's no other way to put it. That's it. They play games, and they do this to keep us on our toes. I really believe that. Look, if you're involved in a conspiracy to kill the president of the United States of America, you're dead. I'm sorry, but you're dead. If you were involved in that, you're dead. Right? I mean, if Jeffrey Epstein can kill himself, like certainly anybody involved in that conspiracy killed himself too. And anybody who knew about it is dead. Anybody who could have proven it is dead. Like there's not, I never expected a smoking gun, but I wanted it released because it's offensive to me that they weren't released. But then you go back to the broader question of why weren't they released? And I mean this sincerely. I think like to answer Susie Cool's question, why did Pompeo tell Trump not to release him? I mean, Trump released some of them, but because somebody at the CIA probably said to the director, well, we can't for this, but probably wrote a memo about why they can. And just probably said, okay, fine, I'll let the president know. And then maybe it's just a matter of it's just really psychological control over the people, just keeping secrets from us. It's our government keeping lots and lots of secrets from us. Because that's what's infuriating, right? You go through all this work to release all these documents. And there's nothing in there that's a smoking gun. There's nothing in there that definitively proves Oswald did it or didn't do it. So you're back to where you started. Everybody's back to where they started. If yesterday you woke up believing that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, you believe it today. If yesterday you woke up and believed it was a conspiracy and Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy, you believe that today. If you woke up yesterday and believed Lee Harvey Oswald did it, but it was part of a broader conspiracy, but yes, he was the gunman, you believe it today. Like, no, nothing's going to change anybody's mind based on what's in these files. It's only going to reinforce opinions, and it's going to wind up also reinforcing, quite frankly, our distrust in our government, and it's going to reinforce the fact that the frustration that I have, which is how is it okay for our government to keep so many secrets from its own people? And yeah, this makes the CIA look bad by doing so, but it also makes them look incredibly powerful that they can keep a secret. And that they can keep the secret from us, and they can convince president after president, going all the way back to, don't forget, the guy who first started with this in my recent memory, I mean, maybe I could be wrong here. I don't know this for historical fact. You know, I always like to make sure that I qualify a statement if I don't know for sure. But in my recollection, the guy who got the ball rolling on all this was Bill Clinton when he ran for president. Remember, Bill Clinton, when he was in high school, was a Boys State Senator to Washington, D.C. So he went to Boys State, Arkansas Boys State, went to D.C. as a state senator or state senator for the Boys State program and met JFK. And there's a famous picture of Bill Clinton and JFK meeting in the Rose Garden at the White House. Subsequently, by the way, I was a Boys State senator and met George H.W. Bush in the Rose Garden at the White House. But there's no picture of it. But it really did happen, I swear. I was also the governor, and I beat Maz. That's the famous story of how we met and became friends. But anyway, I digress. The point is this. Bill Clinton meets JFK, and then when Bill Clinton's running for president, you know, they show that picture nonstop, if you remember that, nonstop of that picture. In fact, see if you guys can find that picture for me. Let's put it on the YouTube chat of Bill Clinton and JFK when Bill Clinton was a high school junior or senior, I guess, depending on when the program would have been. Can you do that and let me know if you got
gotcha.
It? Thank you, sir. And he was the one who got the ball rolling on this, of releasing all the files and letting the American people know the truth about the Kennedy assassination. And that didn't happen. And that was he got elected in 1992. So the movie JFK comes out right around that time. Everybody has all these questions. We got all these different conspiracy theories. All these people want to understand things. Jim Garrison's character is played by one of the most popular, beloved actors in America at the time, probably still to this day. I mean, Kevin Costner. And it's a great movie. It's got great characters in it, although Joe Pesci's character is freaking weird. But, I mean, you walk out of that movie believing they killed him. They killed him. They killed Kennedy, no doubt about it. And then there was almost a coordinated effort in the media to take down that movie, if you remember. It was like they worked very diligently to Roger Stone, I mean, Oliver Stone had to defend himself all the time on that and saying that, yes, okay, the scene with Donald Sutherland did not actually take place, but it was based on all real information and real events. But that's the thing that they went after that movie about back then was, that scene didn't happen. You made that up. And he said it was a dramatic representation of all that I had learned in my research of this assassination. And of course, it was based on the book On the Trail of the Assassination, On the Trail of the Assassins. That was the basis of the movie JFK was created on, and Jim Garrison was a district attorney. And look, Garrison had his own issues that people think, you know, he was grandstanding and he was politicizing this because he had political ambitions and everything like this. But here we are now, it's 2025, and they finally release all the documents. So far as we know, all right, here, let's put, so on the YouTube chat, if you're streaming right now on YouTube, and you should be, at 1210 WPHT is our YouTube show, and we do it every day from 3 to 6 p.m., because I don't like to do 4 hours. I just do 3 hours. Just enough time to stare at my face, quite frankly. Bill Clinton and JFK at Boys State. And you can see them in the Rose Garden there. So you see the two of them, the two sleazeballs. I actually think at that moment, if you look closely at Bill Clinton's face, what he's saying to him is, how's that pool? You like using the pool? Because they had the pool back then in the West Wing. Now it's the White House press room. Well, I mean, technically the pool was underneath it, but, you know, can you show me the pool, Mr. President? I want to be just like you one day, if you know what I mean. Can I see the secret tunnel where you brought Marilyn in? But and they used that to say that he, like Kennedy, would have all his vigor and he'd be the one who would, you know, bring America, blah, 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 blah. All right, thank you. That's enough of Bill Clinton's face. But But then he doesn't declassify the Kennedy files when he's president of the United States. So why not? And then obviously you had other presidents who also came around and said that they were going to declassify the Kennedy files. And then they didn't do it either, including Donald Trump. So, yeah, you just have to wonder how many people within the deep state just honestly like nothing more than just messing with our heads, just like making us angry and crazy and keeping the conspiracy theories going. Because think about it. It's one of the things that divides people. There's a great line in the movie In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood. A great line. Clinton was 16 years old. Okay, thank you. A senior at Hot Springs High School. Hot Springs. I use those hot springs all the time. That's 1963. Selected as one of Arkansas's two delegates to Boys Nation. I was one of the two delegates to Boys Nation from Jersey Boys State, but I was the only one who was also governor and senator. They only did that one time. They made one exception for me. Just pointing that out. But anyway, so in the movie In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood, there's this great scene where he's talking about the assassination of Kennedy. You know, he plays a Secret Service agent who was on Kennedy's detail, and he loses the president, and his alcoholism and his depression. And it's based on a real-life Secret Service agent who was on the detail. But it's obviously, it's an awesome movie. It's a thriller. John Malkovich plays the would-be assassin of the president. One of my favorite movies, Rene Russo in her prime in that movie. But he goes on about, I listened to these people on bar stools with all their conspiracy theories, and I didn't have any use for all that. But that's the point. I think it's like anything the government can do to keep us divided on anything, they'll do it. I really believe that. I think that the more that we can argue and fight, even about the assassination of Kennedy, it makes them happy. It really does. It makes people in Washington very happy to keep us divided and to keep us distrustful and to keep us all thinking that, that person who disagrees with me has nefarious purposes. I really do. I think they get off on it. Sometimes the answer is just as simple as that. You know what I mean? It's just as simple as that. It's just they, you know what? The more we can we keep them disagreeing and arguing over Kennedy? Yeah, then let's do it. Now let's do it. Is there anything in these files that's going to prove that JFK was assassinated by Lee Harvey Oswald or not assassinated by Lee Harvey Oswald? No, nothing. But it'll further whatever you already believe. But let's postpone him for another 10 years and convince the president he's got to for national security reasons. And the president's like, all right, I guess, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'm busy. I am president. I'm busy. If you're telling me this is bad, then I won't do it. Because how is it that there's nothing in there? And the answer probably goes back to what we talked about in an earlier conversation, because if there ever was anything in there, it would have been gone. It would have been destroyed. Nothing remains. I mean, there's no evidence. They destroy evidence all the time, constantly in criminal cases. I mean, anything that would have definitively proven something would have been destroyed, and certainly would have been destroyed all these years later. Like if there ever was maybe a window of time to get it, that window closed, God only knows how many years ago. And then the other fact of the matter is that if you can't prove that Oswald acted alone, which I don't think you can, then that doesn't necessarily mean that there wasn't a conspiracy. It just means you can't prove there was a conspiracy. But then if you can't prove there was a conspiracy, it doesn't mean that there wasn't a conspiracy. And you see, we get back to where we were. We get back to where we started in all this. And then there are people in Washington, in the deep state, the Pentagon, whatever, who just sit back and laugh. And it's frustrating as an American citizen. Why do they keep so many secrets from us? And that's really what it comes down to for me. It's just, why do they keep so much secret from the American people? This is supposed to be our government. It's there to serve us. And who are you protecting by keeping this secret? Because there's nothing that I can tell other than the fact that they also released some social security numbers of people, which is ridiculous. They shouldn't have done that, but who are you protecting? You're protecting your own institutions. You know what this was about? This was about protecting the institution. That's it. So, and I think they like to distrust. I think they like to sow it. I think they like to seed it. And then they like to see us all fight and argue about it. So if you thought this was going to be a unifying, defining moment for our country, I don't see that it will be, unfortunately. And that's sad. That frustrates me because I would love that. I would love if we could all as a country come together and agree that either Oswald acted alone or that Oswald didn't act alone. Like just that would be amazing. But purposely, the system is set up in a way that we can't ever possibly know. And I know Tulsi Gabbard wants to know. I know Donald Trump wants to know. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind about that. I know Bobby Kennedy wants to know who the hell killed his uncle. Caroline Leavitt today at the White House press briefing talking about this. Cut number two.
President Trump also promised maximum transparency and a commitment to rebuild the trust of the American people in our intelligence community. Part of that promise was to fully release previously classified records related to the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy, and he made that happen yesterday. This historic release consisted of approximately 80,000 pages of previously classified records that are now published. The records are available to access either online at archives.gov/JFK or in person, accessible to the American people at the National Archives in College Park, Maryland. Records that are currently only available for in-person viewing are being digitized and will be uploaded in the coming days.
Road Warrior says, anyone remember when Rich would play the park bench scene and participate in the dialogue? I don't remember that. But we have that scene, right, Justin, from yesterday, from JFK with Donald Sutherland? Yeah, let's pull it up. And then, let's see here. Somebody said, when I lie, my nose turns red. No, my nose turns red when I get fired up, drink alcohol, don't get enough sleep, have too much caffeine. It's called rosacea. And I didn't put my rosacea medicine on today. I'm supposed to put this cream on every day. But I also got some sun. It's beautiful out. I spent a ton of time in the sunshine today and yesterday. And those stupid antibiotics that I was on for my foot make you more susceptible to sunburn. I'm not lying. You can check. 1992, Jersey Boys State. Look it up. I was governor and I was the senator for Boys State. And I met George H.W. Bush in the Rose Garden. And I remember the conversation with him, too, was really cool because I said to him, are you going to campaign here or what? He's like, I'm fishing with my grandkids. I'm not even thinking about it. And... you could tell he didn't have the eye of the tiger in 1992. They did not have the eye of the tiger. He was I don't blame him, man. I mean, you know, that guy had served his country, done a lot, right? Jumping out of airplanes. He was the head of the CIA. God only knows what he knew. He probably knew who really killed Kennedy. But he didn't have the eye of the tiger in that election. He really didn't. I mean, remember that whole thing where they're like, what's the price of milk? And he's like, I don't know. It's like, that's a stupid question. That was my sense of it that day when I met him. I remember saying to somebody that day in the Rose Garden, I said, I don't think he really wants to campaign. I mean, he probably wants to be president, but I don't think he's ready. I don't think he wants to campaign. I don't think he's into it. Because that would have been June of 92. So that would have been the summer. And he was like, yeah, we're going to get started soon. It's like, yeah, you know, we'll get around to it. We'll do it soon. We'll get there. Dude, it's like 2 months away. Anyway, here's the famous scene from JFK with Donald Sutherland and Kevin Costner. Let's take a little bit of a watch and a listen here.
Anyway, after I came back, I asked myself, why was I, the chief of special ops, selected to travel to the South Pole at that time to do a job that any number of others could have done? And I wondered if it could have been because one of my routine duties, if I had been in Washington, would have been to arrange for additional security in Texas. So I decided to check it out. And sure enough, I found out that someone had told the 112th Military Intelligence Group at 4th Army Headquarters at Fort Sam Houston to stand down that day over the protest of the unit commander. Colonel Wright.
I believe it's a mistake.
This is significant because it is standard operating procedure, especially in a known hostile city like Dallas, to supplement the Secret Service. But even if we had not allowed the bubble top to be removed from the limousine, we would have placed at least 100 to 200 agents on the sidewalk without question. I mean, only a month ago, Dallas. UN Ambassador Adlai Stevenson was spit on and hit. There had already been several attempts on de Gaulle's life in France. We would have arrived days ahead of time, studied the route, checked all the buildings, never would have allowed all those wide open empty windows overlooking Dealey. Never. We'd have had our own snipers covering the area. The minute a window went up, they'd have been on the radio. We'd have been watching the crowd, packages rolled up, newspapers, coat opened up. Never would have let a man open an umbrella along the way. Never would have allowed that limousine to slow down to 10 miles an hour, much less take that unusual curve at Houston and Elm. You would have felt an army presence in the streets that day. None of this happened. It was a violation of the most basic protection codes we have, and it is the best indication of a massive plot in Dallas. Now, who could have best done this?
Now, let's pause it right there for a second. So, Bob Schiff says there are some revealing docs in the files, Rich. I agree. I'm not saying there aren't. I didn't, at no point did I say that. There are. There are some very revealing documents, but there's no smoking gun. And that's the point. There's no smoking gun. And maybe there is. I just feel like if there was, we would have, by now we would know that. It's been 24 hours. Right? So if there was no smoking gun, why keep this secret for all these years? Is the point, is the question. Yeah, there's revealing documents in there which are going to confirm your belief. Either you believe it was a conspiracy or you don't, is going to be confirmed by the document release. Because if there's nothing in there that's a smoking gun, you're going to turn around, you're going to go, ah, see, Oswald did it, acted alone. If there's no smoking gun, you're going to go, ah, see, it was a conspiracy, and they covered it up. You know, and then you're going to hang on, people will hang on to every nugget. I'm not being critical. I'm saying that that's what this is designed to do. It's designed to keep us all going with this. And, you know, yeah. And the thing about this scene that I take issue with is only, and maybe it's the post Butler mentality of me, is I know that President Trump wasn't president in Butler, but he was the Republican nominee and the former president of the United States of America. And I think if Donald Sutherland's character was there that day in Butler, they would have made sure that nobody got on the roof with a gun and was able to take several shots at the president of the United States of America. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's why I can't rule out that forces within our government played a role in moving the hand to help Butler happen. See, this is where I think it comes down to, is this. There are too many circumstantial things with Lee Harvey Oswald ending up as an employee at the Texas School Book Depository, being on the FBI's radar, being on the CIA's radar, for that limousine to go around Dealey Plaza to slow down to 10 or 11 miles an hour. And for that to happen is just too coincidental in my mind. It's just too coincidental. And so that's why I think that there were forces that enabled all of those things to be in motion. It wasn't just luck. That's how I've always believed that. And it could have been Oswald acting alone as a lone gunman, but it's still a conspiracy because other people helped facilitate how all of those events just kind of neatly worked out. Like if Oswald, in other words, had just been some whack job in Dallas who worked at the school book depository and was like, oh, the president's coming, I'm going to kill him. All right. But this is a guy who had traveled to Russia, involved with Cuba, this on the CIA watch list, on the FBI watch list, had tried to kill somebody already, tried to be an assassin, ends up at the school book depository, and the limousine just happens to go around the school book depository and slows down to 10 miles an hour, 11 miles, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. So for me, I always believed that, much like I do with Butler, I believe that there are forces within our government who enable these things to happen. It doesn't mean that there has to be four people on the grassy knoll, and it doesn't mean that there has to be, some mafia boss. I just think, you know, sometimes it's a situation where they put the forces in place. Now, you know, Depositor's argument earlier about, well, then they would have killed Oswald right away. He never would be able to leave the school book depository alive. I mean, think about Butler, right? They killed that guy, as they should have. No question about it. But then they cremate his body 2 weeks later. We have no answers. We have no details. There's no trail on this guy. Oswald may have tried to kill somebody. I mean, somebody may have tried to kill Oswald and maybe have not been successful. And then obviously Oswald went and tried to hide. So, I mean, just because that didn't happen, it's like saying because something didn't happen, you can prove something. And I mean, the interview was only 20 minutes. If I had hours with Posner, maybe I would retort that and say, well, in the absence of something happening, doesn't prove that something happened, right? Just because Oswald was not killed that day doesn't mean somebody didn't try. Doesn't mean somebody wasn't going to or supposed to. And then who knows? I don't know. They got hit by a car. They tripped over a dog. Who the hell knows? But you can't just say that, you know what I mean? And then just kind of do that. So, no, Ruby was mobbed up. He was part of the New Orleans Mafia. Everybody, I mean, that's kind of a known thing. So yeah, the parade route and then that turn at Donald Sutherland talks about were always the things in my mind that struck me. But then after watching Butler, you think, man, if that guy were around, Butler never would have happened. And then you also wonder, like, well, I mean, then President Reagan probably wouldn't have been shot, because you watch the video of Reagan getting assassinated, the attempted assassination by Hinckley. I mean, it's just a couple Secret Service agents around the president. He's walking into the Washington, I'll say the hotel the wrong name and someone will correct me, so I'm not even going to say the name of the hotel, but someone will tell me anyway. But, you know what I mean? Like, it was just a couple of Secret Service agents around him. It's not like, you know, so, and then I was, and then, you know, I mean, there were attempts on every president pretty much had an attempt on their life at one point or another. Some got close and some didn't. But I don't know. It's just, in my mind, I think that when all said and done, and maybe I'll be wrong, when all said and done, you go through all these 80,000 documents, we're probably not going to have many minds changed on this. I think if you think that there were more people involved in this than just merely one person, which is the definition of a conspiracy, which is what I believe. I don't believe Oswald acted alone. I don't. I believe he may have been the lone gunman. I don't believe he acted alone. Then I'm still going to believe that even after all these 80,000 files go through. And if you believe, like Posner does, that Oswald acted alone with no help from anybody and all these just, you know, fortuitous circumstances just happened, you're still going to believe that after these 80,000 documents are through. That's my point. There'll be revelations here and there, but they'll further prove, they'll reinforce your opinion one way or the other, is my sense of it. Maybe I'll be wrong. Look, none of us know because nobody has had a chance to go through all 80,000 documents yet. I mean, it literally just happened last night. But that's my spidey sense of it anyway. But it really is amazing how, you know, you think about that day in Butler and how little we know about that assassin. And then you have to wonder, too, like how much of this is used to distract from that? You know, like how much of we're talking about an assassination that occurred in 1963, which we deserve answers to, even though I don't believe we're ever going to really get them because I think whatever was there has been destroyed. But I want answers about what happened in the summer of 2024 in Butler, PA. And I can't seem to get those answers. You know what I mean? Like, so just saying. But this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We have our dates for our live broadcast. Ready? June 20th, August 15th, Halloween, Friday, 10:31. And we also have December 19th for our Christmas spectacular Zioli show on ice. So what you should do is make your reservations now because they always fill up this summer. And you want to do that today by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Think about Memorial Day. Think about spring break with the kids. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. All right. As we continue along the show here today, we got a lot to get to. More from Caroline Levitt's press briefing today. The president responding to all these out of control, lefty, kooky, wacko judges who are trying to stop him. And are you on team Alec Baldwin or team Hilaria? Either way, it's hilarious what occurred here. We'll play the audio and the video and get your take on it all as we continue along here on the show. It's Matt DeSantis' birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to DeSantis, one of the top 50 hardest working producers in all of radio.
Thank you. You're far too kind.
It's the least I can do. All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's the least I can do. All right. Very good. Let's come right back.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. So President Trump says he's not going to ignore the courts, which I think is great. We'll get into that, I'll explain my reasoning for that because I think it's very important, too. But you know what's really amazing is that somehow or another, the Democrats are now the party. I see it, but I let me rephrase this. Somehow the Democrats are okay with being the party that's advocating for violent, illegal, criminal, alien gang members. I mean, it's crazy to me. It's nuts. Even Stephen A. Smith ripped them for this. He's like, look at you people. Look at you people, what you're doing right now. Oh, you know, he also went after his own people, his own staff for being Democrats, too. Stephen A. Smith. There's a lot of people waking up to the nonsense here that's going on and what's happening. And they're going, this is just crazy stuff. So here's Cut 25 here. Stephen A. Smith saying that, you know, the Democrats, like, what are you doing here? Your own staff is back in the Democrat Party while recording his show, Cut 25.
I got a story to tell the Democratic Party. Are you ready for this? Rather than telling us what we should vote against, maybe you should present us with options of what to vote for. Just a thought. I mean, my God, are you okay, Michael, with me suggesting that? Are you okay with me, Sherry, suggesting that? Rashawn, Galen, and all of the bunch of leftists that's under my umbrella trying to act like they're independents when they're full of it? I'm talking about my old damn staff. I can say it with love and affection because I don't mind. I'm a centrist. I think my man Rashawn is a centrist. The rest of these damn people working for me. I mean, what left-wing party are you associated with? I mean, you got to believe this stuff. You got to listen to it to hear it. I'm going to say it again. Rather than come to folks with what to vote against.
By the way, let me just stop it for a second. DeSantis, you could never complain about me being mean to you again after that. Just saying.
I've got it easy by comparison.
Exactly.
I'm treated like a king. I never felt
compared
so
to that.
Thankful. Yeah,
man. So dwarves are going to protest Snow White after CGI has been used instead of the actors. We've been totally shut out, but we're not going down quietly, said one dwarf actor. Good for the little people for fighting back. Good for them. Excellent. Dozens of little people actors prepare to protest outside Disney Studios in L.A. over the controversial replacement of dwarfs with CGI in the Snow White remake. Can we get some of them on the show, Matt?
Probably. I'm sure we can.
All right. Get me some dwarves on the show. And we'll ask them their thoughts on dwarf tossing, which obviously clearly was a major, major priority of Mazie Hirono, the dumbest United States senator, not on the mainland, of course. No, DeSantis isn't a leftist. He's just... No, he's not a leftist. He's just a...
Who's spreading that rumor?
I don't know. Uncle Sam on the YouTube chat. I don't know. It's quite strange. All right. I've been teasing this. So here's Alec Baldwin and his wife, who goes by Hilaria, which is hilarious because she's a total fraud. And the poor woman, she's very, very upset, by the way, very upset. But I'll explain. Take a watch and a listen to this clip here.
The Hilaria Show.
No. I think we're going to see, you know, we're going to see how it feels to have it be out there.
It's going
to be
great. You're a winner.
Oh, my God. When I'm talking, you're not talking.
Sorry.
No, when I'm talking, you're not talking. This is why, yes, we'll have to, like, just cut him out of the show. No, I mean, I think this is a really raw show, and it's very real, and we took a lot of chances.
All right, so stop it right there. So that was Alec Baldwin, and he goes, "Sup, when I'm talking, you're talking, okay? When I'm talking, you're talking," and just dressed him down. Now, normally I'd say that's rude, but I hate him. Alec Baldwin kind of deserves it, so I think we all want to collectively as a nation tell him to shut up. Secondly, dude, you married her. I don't know what to tell you. But third, Hilaria, okay, whose real name is Hillary Hayward Thomas. The only thing I will say to that is at least she didn't use a fake Spanish accent when she told Alec Baldwin to shut the hell up in that clip. Remember, Matt, she had that questionable dialect when she was saying things like, how do you say cucumber in Spanish? Oh, it's cucumber. Remember that? Do you remember that whole thing?
Yeah, she's hyper annoying. No doubt about it.
Yeah. One of the most annoying people. And so the show is called The Baldwins. And now, just one more time from, and I'm not going to call her Hilaria because it's stupid. That's not her name. Her name is Hillary. Hillary Hayward Thomas. She was born in an upscale neighborhood in Boston. And she had the Fugazi Spanish accent, calls herself Hilaria, identifies as being Spanish, and Spanish immigrant or something like this. But I'm telling you right now, when you listen to this, normally you might feel a little sorry for Alec Baldwin. If it wasn't Alec Baldwin, I think we collectively probably would. But in some ways, I don't know. But let's one more time. Go ahead.
The Hilaria Show.
No, I think we're going to see, you know, we're going to see how it feels to have it be out there.
It's going
to
be great. You're a winner.
Oh, my God. When I'm talking, you're not talking.
Sorry.
No, when I'm talking, you're not talking. This is why, yes, we'll have to, like, just cut him out of the show.
First of all, I love how he goes, sorry, and puts his head down. Like such a beta little boy. Look at him. See that? I'm sorry. And then puts his head down and walks away. And then he proceeds to go and talk to people behind him. But he gives a dirty look to the camera. How many times has Alec Baldwin lost his temper over the years to reporters and other people, Matt? Do you remember all the times that he would freak out on reporters? And
oh, my God. He was screaming at a reporter. I think it wasn't even 2 weeks ago he threatened to physically attack the guy. Granted, the reporter was being super annoying, but also maybe keep that opinion to yourself, especially after the incident on set.
Yeah, exactly, right? Speaking of crazy people, Canadian climate change group vandalizes a Tesla dealership in Montreal to protest against climate denial. It's not in English, But if you're watching on YouTube, you can see some of this. The protesters blame Tesla. Let's play it. Cut 22. I'll talk over it a little bit. They blame Tesla for climate change. This is a group called Last Generation. It's an environmental group that is funded by the Climate Emergency Fund. These are the same people that throw soup on the Louvre, at the paintings of the Louvre. So they're spray painting all over the Tesla dealership. All right, thank you guys. That's good. Just to get a little taste of that. Canadians, the Canadian environmental terrorists right there. That's really what that is. So with regards to the talking about whether or not we follow the court or we don't follow the court. So Joe Scarborough this morning on his show, and credit to Western Lensman on X for putting this together. Joe Scarborough declaring that presidents like Joe Biden never screamed and yelled about ignoring judges. And then a split screen clip of Joe Biden screaming and yelling about ignoring judges, particularly the Supreme Court. Cut 23.
Again, like I said, George W. Bush had to deal with this. Barack Obama had to deal with this repeatedly. Joe Biden had to deal with this. They didn't scream and yell and say we weren't going to listen to federal district court judges.
Supreme Court blocked me from relieving student debt, but they didn't stop me. So far, I've relieved student debt for nearly 5 million Americans. A significant number are black borrowers.
See that? They didn't stop me. They blocked me and didn't stop me. Oh, and you want some good news? I'll give you some good news. Happy Gilmore, which is, in my mind, one of the funniest movies ever. Adam Sandler, great movie. Justin, you've seen it.
Oh, yeah, hundreds of times.
Outstanding, right?
One of Adam Sandler's best.
He plays a golfer named Happy Gilmore, and he's not a very good golfer, but he becomes a great golfer. Who is in it? Who else was in it? Carl Weathers was in it, right?
Yeah, Carl Weathers was in it.
Lost his hand to the alligator.
Bob Barker was in it.
Bob Barker was in it. The fight with Adam Sandler and Bob Barker is a classic.
Julie Bowen was in it. And
wait, did you see it, DeSantis?
Yes, I actually have seen this one.
We're all shocked by that. You actually saw Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
okay.
And Richard Kiel is in it, the guy who played Jaws in the James Bond movies.
That's right. Yes, he is. Outstanding movie. So Adam Sandler got everyone's attention. And, you know, sometimes you don't know if these things are real or not, but this is real because it's him putting this out there. It's coming out on Netflix July 25th. I don't know if it's going to be good or not. If anyone has not seen the new Beverly Hills Cop sequel, don't, because it's really, really bad. Did you guys see it by chance, the Beverly Hills Cop sequel on Netflix?
I don't know.
I didn't know. I saw the trailer and I said, I'm just going to let that one lay.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, don't see it, please. Don't do that to yourself. Save yourself the time and the memory of Beverly Hills Cop and Beverly Hills Cop 2, and don't go down this road. And there might have even been another Beverly Hills Cop movie in between. I don't even know. I don't know. Just the first two, and that's all you need, and end it. But so maybe this will be good. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But I'm gonna put some hope into this because I need some hope.
Did you see the trailer yet?
Now I'm gonna watch it right now for the first time.
Yeah, temper your expectations.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'll let you be the judge. I don't want to ruin anything.
All right. We'll let the YouTube audience and everyone listening can be the judge. You can either, we will listen. I'll kind of describe it to you as we go. All right. Here we go. Very dramatic opening.
Arnold
Jack Palmer statue. Jack Nicklaus.
Tiger
Woods statue.
SpongeBob? What is that? What's with the beaver teeth?
Happy Gilmore statue.
I haven't swung a club in years. I'm a little intimidated. All these guys hit it big now. I don't know where to start. Come on, brother.
Grip it and rip it.
I guess I need to update my happy place to something a little more age appropriate.
Oh, Bobby Kennedy's wife's in it, Cheryl Hines. All right, and he's just slapping people and golfing on the beach and an old man with nipples and
Mr. Gilmore? Holy sh!
We're not done with golf. Let them see the happy I fell in love with.
Where's Robbie Schneider? Is he in this?
Let's go.
Is Robbie Schneider in this movie? Yes or no?
I don't think so. He's not in the
Okay.
Trailer. We'll put a little extra into this one. I am so sorry.
You know, I really, really hope that Rob Schneider's in this, because, you know, Schneider's been very outspoken lately about his politics and his pro-Trump stance, and he's been smashing the left and bashing the left, and I hope to God they did not cancel him out of this, because I know that he and Sandler were very good friends. So, but Happy Gilmore, who was, Julie Bowen was the original woman in Happy Gilmore 2. So let's see, Happy Gilmore cast 2, Happy Gilmore 2, coming out 2025. Please tell me they didn't cancel Rob Schneider because of his political views. That's what I'm worried about right now. Top cast, Ben Stiller, Christopher McDonald is back as Shooter McGavin. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see Rob Schneider. I don't think he's in it.
Yeah, he's not listed. He's not credited as of now, but I wonder if he's the type of person you save for a big reveal. You wouldn't want the audience knowing that he's going to make an appearance. So hold out hope.
That's not Cheryl Hines. That's the original actress.
Yeah, it's Julie Bowen.
Oh, okay. She looks like Cheryl Hines, a lot like her. She's aged well. She's aged very, very well. Look at that. All right. Is Adam Sandler conservative? I don't even know. Is that his policy? He doesn't really speak much about politics, does he?
I don't think he gets involved, which is probably smart.
Yeah, very smart in that sense, no doubt about it. Well, all right, that'll give me something to look forward to this summer. That is, of course, if we're still here. But here's something that I'm not quite sure about. President Trump puts ketchup on his steak.
Ugh.
Yeah, this is probably why he sticks to cheeseburgers, to be honest with you. Cut 15.
Do you put ketchup on your steak?
Yes, I do.
Mm.
Is your driver's license expired?
I'll have to check.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to drive, if you can believe it. It's a great...
Because you're president, driving. You're not allowed for it. Security reasons? Or?
I really miss it. No, I miss it. I miss not driving.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, the ketchup on the steak thing's kind of lost me. A1, maybe, but I don't know. But, you know.
Even
A1.
Look,
if it's A1,
no,
you know.
No, I feel like a good steak doesn't need a sauce.
All right, well, when you go to the Outback tonight for your big birthday dinner,
I'm going to the Outback, all right, steakhouse.
You can enjoy it. The president talked about the great call he had with President Putin, and now it seems like Ukraine has accepted the peace deal, which is great news, and we could be there. We could finally be on the one-yard line for peace. All these sports analogies when it comes to world peace, but here's President Trump talking about the great call of President Putin, cut number 7.
We got a readout of your call with Vladimir Putin, and it was a fairly optimistic take. Vladimir Putin agreed to a ceasefire immediately on energy and infrastructure,
right,
but not to a 30-day ceasefire. Tell us what happened.
Well, you have a situation. We have a lot of guns pointing at each other, foolishly, because it would have never happened if I were president. That was not a war that was supposed to happen. And it did happen. So that's where we are. And right now, you have a lot of guns pointing at each other. And a ceasefire without going a little bit further would have been tough. Russia has the advantage, as you know. They have encircled about 2,500 soldiers. They are nicely encircled, and that's not good. And we want to get it over with. Look, we're doing this. There are no Americans involved. There could be if you end up in World War III over this, which is so ridiculous, but, you know, strange things happen. And I think we had a great call. It lasted almost 2 hours, talked about a lot of things, and toward getting it to peace. And we talked about other things also.
And then Caroline Leavitt reiterated that today at the White House press briefing. She talked about the call and the need for peace, cut number 1.
Yesterday, President Trump and President Putin spoke about the need for peace and a ceasefire in the Ukraine war. Both leaders agreed this conflict needs to end with a lasting peace and also stressed the need for improved bilateral relations between the United States and Russia. President Trump also spoke with President Zelensky this morning to align both Russia and Ukraine in terms of their needs and requests. As President Trump has said repeatedly, the precious lives and money that both Ukraine and Russia have been spending in this war would be better spent on the needs of their people. This terrible conflict would have never started with President Trump in charge, but he's determined to end it once and for all.
Good. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad to see the breaking news today that Ukraine seems to have accepted this, and we might be there for peace, and it might finally be the case. So that's excellent stuff, excellent news, and great. All right, that's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. And a shock poll showing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the leader of the Democratic Party. Between that breaking news and the fact that the dwarfs are going to protest Snow White, it's been a busy, busy day. But let me get into the courts and what the press secretary had to say today at the White House press briefing about these judges and what these judges are doing. And I think we can all agree as a nation, whether our minds have been changed about the Kennedy assassination or not, we can all agree Alec Baldwin is a beta. And, you know, somebody would make a good choice when you marry somebody. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Make a good choice because, you know, you got to make a smart choice here. All right. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Good. Good. Fourth and final hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.